Well, good morning to you. I really hope and encourage that the word this morning will be an encouragement to you, and hope that it will pierce your heart in such a way that it did mine when I was doing the study. Before I begin, I want to apologize to Rachel over here. Last time I spoke with you, her hands were smoking because I tend to talk fast and I don't pause long enough between words. So I really do. I repented before the lesson. I am really, in all seriousness, thankful that she is here, be able to do what she does for those. And again, I apologize because I wasn't used to having someone interpret. So it's really a blessing that we can take God's word and make sure it gets to everyone. So really, it's truly a blessing. To begin, I want to read Psalm 95, verse 1 and 2. And I do have all the scripture out of the New American Standard Bible up here on the screen for you this morning. Psalm 95 and verse 1, it says, "O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms." I want to go over to Psalm 100. Psalm 100, 1 through 5. He says, "A psalm of thanksgiving. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good, His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations." Throughout this past year, and maybe years farther in the past, we have felt some sort of degree of stress or pain. Many have experienced difficulties with illnesses, job changes, isolation, loss of family members, and even financial challenges. Additionally, we have been faced with tough challenges in our society. We have battled a pandemic. We have faced civil unrest. We've had political changes, just to name a few things. However, within all these difficulties, how thankful have you been with anyone or with anything? Or any situation? With so much happening in the news that causes us truthfully to be angry or sad or even depressed, it can be so easy for us to focus on what's wrong instead of looking at the things that are right. I was at work the other day and I approached a group of my team members. And they say, "Kevin, we can't make the batch. We're out of product. We have people that don't know how to work. We have cleanup that needs to be done, and we could not do it." The young man was distressed, he was sad, and he was angry. I looked at him and I said, "Okay, but what can we do?" And he was a little thrown back by that expression of, "I'm the boss," and I was ready to find out what's going on or blame people. Rather, it was a different angle of, okay, what is right? What can we do with the situation that we're in? In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, "And so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. I realize that not every situation that we find ourselves in is going to be something that we enjoy. Oftentimes we find that we wish we weren't in that present situation. We wish the career path that we're on was a lot easier. Maybe some of the family that we're amongst we wish was a little bit more joyous to be around. We wish that the community that we're in wasn't so chaotic. We wish the news had more enlightening things about it instead of all the negativity that's going on. Regardless of any situation that we are in and anything that we do in life, as we see in Colossians, in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But are we doing so in the capacity of being thankful? And again, being thankful for the present situation that I'm in. Because I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. I don't know what the next opportunity is going to present itself. I don't know why God may be having me go through this situation. I don't know why God brought me here at this very moment. But I know in any circumstance that I'm in, I'm going to see the good in it, and I'm going to glorify God, and I'm going to emulate Christ in word and deed, and as I do that, I'm going to be thankful to God for the situation that He has allowed me to be a part of. In Psalm 69 and verse 30, He said, "I will praise the name of God with song, and shall magnify Him with thanksgiving." This past week, we had an opportunity to come together and sing praises to our God. It is a blessing that at Southport, we have an opportunity once a month to come together on the third Sunday. So those of you who are not members, we welcome you. On the third Sunday evening, we have song service. We get the privilege to praise God in song. And what I want you to notice this morning is how many verses I'm going to read you that talk about praising God and thanksgiving in song. And it's amazing that we have this opportunity, and I'm going to be a little harsh here for a moment, that we don't all partake of that. How many of you did not make it to the song service this past week? Ask yourself why. How many of you have never come to a song service? Ask yourself why. Because in the song service, we praise God, we lift up His name, we encourage one another, but we do so in thanksgiving to God for who He is and what He has done. Do you know what we're going to do in heaven for all eternity? We're going to praise God. Do you know how we're going to do that? One of the ways? We're going to sing praises to God. A new song. And then so we get to glorify, we get to magnify Him with thanksgiving. In Psalm 28 and verse 6 and 7, He says, "Blessed be the Lord, because He has heard the voice of my supplication. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart exults, and my song I shall thank Him." Something we may not think about is that being thankful actually brings joy to our hearts. Because again, if you wake up every day with this sense of depression and sadness, immediately thinking about, immediately looking at all the things that are wrong in my life, guess what? The reality is there will always be something wrong in your life. There will be something that doesn't work. Something that just a challenge that came up. I've said it before, I go into work and thinking of the five things I'm going to accomplish today. And then I have five people walk up to me when I walk in the door and say, "Kevin, this is wrong, this is broke. Johnny didn't show up. We're short staffed. We don't have product. What are we going to do? The boss says it's quarter end, year end. Kevin, where's my product? I don't even have my backpack down and my lunch in the refrigerator yet." The reality is within all those things, we have to think about what we're thankful for. Because at the end of the workday, it's not necessarily the things that Kevin had finished and Kevin accomplished. It's the fact that when we were all said and done, did we, one, were we successful in encouraging people? Because those five people came up to me angry and upset. Okay. At the end of the day, it wasn't about did we make product. I eventually need to do that or I won't have a job. But did we encourage the five people in such a way that they felt accomplished? And that they want to come back tomorrow and face the same battles together with me that we know that we're going to have. But in doing so, we go home thankful because of what we have done and who we are and who we did it with. We have to consider being thankful to encourage our spirit in this life. Not look at the things that are wrong and the things that we don't have, but look at what is right and who we do have. I no longer have my grandmother with me. Absolutely. Love her to death. But I have my family that's here today. And I have to go on to enjoy their life. Because if I live a depressful life of wishing that she was still here, and that brings me down, I'm going to miss all the joy that I have with those with me today. Extending thankfulness from who we are in gratitude requires us to acknowledge the goodness in our life. And also, when we do so, we recognize the source of that goodness that lies beyond even ourselves. If we're never thankful with things in life, we're never going to extend anything to anyone so that they can be thankful. Have you ever received a card in the mail from somebody? I'm sure we all have. Have you ever gone back to the person and said, "Thank you for sending me that card"? Has somebody done something for you in such a capacity that you say thank you? We may do that all the time. Someone opens up the door for us at the restaurant and we say thank you. Has your family member, when you had things in your hand, daddy's going to take out the trash, I go to the back door and my wife opens the door. I say thank you, right? Do you do that? Sometimes we fail to do that. We easily say thank you to a stranger. But those who are around our group, that we fail to acknowledge their presence in giving them thanks. Because maybe we just expect it. Sometimes even with the body of Christ, that we're so used to our brothers and sisters doing all these wonderful things. They're being servants and extending love, and sometimes we take advantage of that, failing to say a simple thank you. And extending our heart. A brother and sister comes up and says, "We're praying for you. For whatever it is that's going on in your life." The first thing that should always come out of our hearts is, "Thank you." It's taking the time to acknowledge them in thankfulness. Even again in moments where everything is wrong in our life or going against us. At least that's how we feel. Many of us had an abundance this past couple days. I know I did. I told people this morning my suit didn't fit very well. I don't know why. Didn't even wash it, but it's a little bit tighter this morning. But we all had an abundance the past couple days, at least most of us did. In that Thanksgiving, how many of you truly gave thanks? Think about that. Gathering around the table of an abundance of food and bowing your head in prayer, that's not what I'm talking about. We talk about giving thanks for those who we have. We talk about giving thanks for our soldiers overseas fighting for our freedom. We talk about giving God thanks maybe one day, but I want us to extend this in a bigger light. Do you ever think about the first Thanksgiving when the settlers came? They had to learn how to grow corn. They had to learn how to catch fish. They had to learn how to collect maple sap from trees. They had to learn all those things from the Native Americans. It was said in historical accounts that they may have eaten venison. Or even a fowl, which is a type of bird. My point is this. Their first Thanksgiving was during hardship. It was during moments of a pandemic, if you will. There was sickness. There was death. And when they finally gathered together, they were thankful for the people, for the ability, and for what they had. In today's society, I think oftentimes we forget how thankful we are. Many people ordered their Thanksgiving off an app on their phone and had it delivered to their house. How thankful are we sometimes when we live in an area where it's just so easily given to us that we just expect it? The challenge we have sometimes, even with God, is that God has given us something, allowed us to have something, and now we grudgingly just expect it every time now. Without turning back to God and saying, God, thank you for allowing me to have this or do this. Before every time I teach a class and every time I preach, I ask God to be with me in word. Now, if I get down from here and I get in my car and I go home and fail to say thank you, how grateful am I really for God allowing me the opportunity and His word to encourage people? It's just, again, it's going back to God and saying thank you for who I am, for what I have. But the challenge that we have today is that in our society, where we have such an abundance, we are the utmost, the ungrateful people in the world. In America, that we have all these toys and items just at our fingertips, we're so ungrateful for it. When somebody brings you a gift, regardless of the gift, how excited and thankful are you for it? At first, we're like, oh, thank you. Now, if it was an occasion, birthday, holiday, whatever, it's expected, right? But have you ever received a gift from someone where it wasn't an occasion? They just kind of threw you off guard. Like, what's this and why? And when you're appreciative, you say, thank you for what you have given me. Now, open the box. What's in it? Okay, that's why you got me. Great. Thanks another time. It's just the idea. But then, wait a minute here. It came from my 3-year-old. I love that tie to death. It's my favorite tie now, right? But what if something came from somebody else? And you're like, huh, really? That's what you spent your money on? That's really the extent of my love and care for each other? Okay, thanks. But no, thank you. I appreciate you got back. You know, sometimes I'm guilty of just those things where we receive things and sometimes we're not thankful enough. And if we receive things from earthly people and we're not thankful enough, how often does God give us things and we're not thankful enough back to Him? In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I know I've read this verse several times and I always stop right there. In everything, give thanks. Okay, well, I'll give thanks in everything. But no, don't miss the second part of that, which is a part of the whole. For this is God's will for you in Christ. As we are in Christ, think about that. You are in Christ, yes. Then it is God's will, His desire, that we are thankful with and in everything. But you might say, okay, Kevin, yeah, okay, I'm thankful. Thanks, God, I really do appreciate that. No, it's truthfully bowing down to Him and praising Him and thanksgiving for who we are and what we have. The fact that we just partook that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He poured out His blood for us, that which we don't deserve and that which we cannot do ourselves. In addition, we go then and live the rest of our life in thanksgiving for what He has done. The fact that He's paid the penalty. The ultimate sacrifice. His love for us was given to us. Again, in addition to that, God says that at the end, when I come back for you, I'm going to let you be with me for all eternity in heaven. Folks, there is not enough thanksgiving we could do for the rest of our lives to truly appreciate what He did for us, what He's going to do for us, and what God does for you every single day. But let's step on the toes for a minute again. What have we done to say thank you? What has been the outpour expression of our lives to say thank you? To live in a thankfulness that our spirit is of thankfulness. I want to read a very familiar passage out of Luke 17. In verse 11 through 19. And it came about while He was on the way to Jerusalem that He was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a certain village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Think about the ask that they're asking here. And when he saw them, in verse 14, he said to them, Go and show yourselves to the priests. And it came about that as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he had saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his feet, on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who turned back to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. This passage here is an eye-opening passage that I know oftentimes I've been guilty. God, have mercy on me. God, give me this. God, provide me this. And we take what He has given us and we run and we leap and we're joyous and we go celebrate as if it's something we just did. In reality, we went to Him first because we knew we can't do it. We knew that He was the only one that could, and we trust that He would, and He did. And the outward response then is what? When God has done so much for our lives, and yet we make it so difficult to get to services, we make it so difficult to open our Bibles, we make it so difficult to turn to Him and praise Him and thank Him, but yet the response ought to be one that we shout, we rejoice, and we fall at His feet, and we bow to Him, and we praise Him, acknowledge His power, acknowledge what His mercy is for us, acknowledge that we don't deserve it, but praise Him that He did. Are we going back to God and saying thank you? In such a capacity that we worship Him in thankfulness? Or do we turn the opposite direction and don't even look back? The measure of your faith will determine the measure of your thankfulness. You notice what he said in that passage? In verse 19, he said to him, Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. But the measure of your faith will determine the measure of your thankfulness. Our faith is in our belief. Our faith is in our trust of God, on who He is, what He has done, and what He will do. And as I look back at my belief and my trust, am I worshiping my God? How much am I truly giving thanks? And if I'm not giving thanks for who He is and what He has done, where truly is your faith? One of the real indicators that a person's life has been touched and changed by Jesus is that they will overflow with thankfulness. You know, I remember coming up out of the watery grave in baptism. Many of you know Brother Clay Curtis baptized me in the old Southport building. And I remember the day that I come up out of that water. First, it was really cold. But when I came back up, I just felt this overwhelming burden off my shoulders. I was warm. I was loved. I was rejoicing. I called. We didn't text back then. Phones weren't that old. But I called everybody I could and went and told everybody what had happened to me. And I was just so energetic to fulfill God's purpose in my life. And I was praising Him. I was thanking Him every single day of my life. And I couldn't praise Him enough. 22 years later, am I still praising Him and thanking Him for what He did to me? Am I going back to God and say, thank you for allowing me to meet the family that I met and the man that sat there in his living room that studied the gospel with me and asked me the question, do you want to give your life to Christ? To be thankful for those people. To be thankful for that moment. To be thankful for that opportunity. for even Clay answering his phone, opening the doors up to allowing me to be baptized, to living our life in thankfulness, because again, we recognize that God has touched and changed our lives in Jesus. And we recognize who He is and what He has done for my life. That's when we go out and we are thankful. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We give thanks to God the Father for our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have had, which you have for all the saints. Because, notice this, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world also, it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also, since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. What did Paul just say here to Colossae? He was giving thanks to the people, yes, for the work that they're doing. He extends that here in verse 5 and 6, because again, they heard, they responded, and they went out and bore fruit in Jesus Christ. The thanksgiving isn't just the fact that Kevin was baptized, or Jeff was baptized, or Monty was baptized. It's what they took that baptism, and they go out in the world and they're thankful in such a way that they take the gospel to other people. I don't just keep it to me. It's not just mine and I got it. But I'm so thankful that I can't wait to encourage somebody to teach them the gospel, to realize that they're on the pathway of destruction. It's being so thankful to God that someone brought the gospel to me and I'm going to go take it to somebody else. I'm going to go extend that. And that what was Paul was thankful for. He wasn't just thankful for just them coming to Christ. He was thankful that he took the word to them and they're taking the word to everybody else and spreading the gospel. And it's a privilege and it's a responsibility that we have. In Ephesians 5, Paul says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But do not let immorality or any impurity or greed even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. When we think about how we are to imitate Christ, we instantly talk about all the things that we're going to spread in love and conduct and attitude, and we're putting on Christ. How many times when you look at the gospel did Jesus go in prayer and thank his Father? All the time. When we put on Christ and we push out all the sinful things in our life, what then is applied is a character truly of thanksgiving. When Paul says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ, it also extends a measure of thanksgiving. In Ephesians 5 verse 14, for this reason I say, arise, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. I've always liked verse 20 there. Always. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, even the Father. To give thanks also implies that we are devoted in prayer. It's easy sometimes that we pray to God and say, God, dear God, I need this. God, I want this. God, help me with this. But we also extend, God, help them. God, heal them. God, I pray for them. And all those things are welcome within our supplications and prayers. But the number one thing that we should always recognize right off the beginning is God's deity, His sovereignness. And in everything that we pray for, we give thanks. I remember kneeling at the bedside of our children, teaching them to pray. And I said, all right, what do you want to pray about tonight? And they said, Dad, I don't know. I said, okay, do this. Ask God for one thing, and then thank God for one thing. That was just the start. So they're going to ask God probably to help them with the test tomorrow at school. But then center and focus what they're asking for. And center and focus what they're being thankful for. And truly think about what it is I am thankful for. And then I thought, well, am I doing that? When I go back to God and ask God for all these things, am I taking the moment and extending a great deal of time just to say a simple thank you? But then taking a moment to illustrate everything that I am thankful for. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, devote yourselves to prayer. Keep alert in it and with an attitude of thanksgiving. Pray at the same time for us as well, that God may open up for us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, in order that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. As I was trying to wrap up some words and some thoughts about this lesson yesterday, I went through McDonald's. And when I got through McDonald's, the lady told me my total was $16.50, somewhere in there, which is usually cheap because when I buy for six, I'm usually in the $30 and $40 range for breakfast. When I got to the window, the lady had a receipt in her hand. And she said, was your total $16.50? And I said, yeah. But I thought that she was questioning what my order was to ensure accuracy. So I began telling her what my order was. To which she stopped me and she said, no, the car in front of you paid for your food. My response was my mouth dropped, right? I've done that before for people. People have done that before. But today was different because today I was thinking about it. Today I didn't expect it. And all I could do, because the car got their food and went on quickly, I was just trying to wave at them to say thank you, like a goober, you know, say thanks. I'm sure they recognized that I was saying thank you, not trying to be a goober. But the idea was there is to stop for just a moment and say thank you. To pray to God and say thank you. Not the fact that they bought my food. It's the fact that they cared more about someone else than themselves. To ask God to bless them then in furthering their kindness. To ask God to bless them in furthering their funds to be able to extend that to somebody else. And truthfully asking God to bless them for all eternity in the kingdom of heaven. In 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 10 says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the need of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgiving to God. The simple kindness of buying my family's breakfast yesterday morning gave way to an opportunity to extend thankfulness to God. And as we continue to serve other people and do things for them, the response that they hopefully have is that they will thank not us, but they'll thank God. I want to reach out to the children for just a moment. So kids, Your mom and dad are wonderful people. They have done a billion things for you. But I want you to ask yourself, how many times have you said thank you to mom and dad? Think about that, kids. So your mother and father will expect you to say thank you now for every little thing that they do today. By the way, we cooked for you. By the way, we did your laundry today. By the way, we picked up your toys today. By the way, we did your homework for you. You're welcome. No, seriously, kids, think about that. You have been truly blessed with people that love you and care about you so much. That think about this, they brought you here this morning. And part of your thankfulness is to thank them for helping you with your Bible class material. To thank them for bringing you here so that you get to hear the gospel. So that you have the opportunity to hear the gospel and come to Christ. In addition to making your food and doing your laundry and everything else at home. Because guess what? There's a lot of kids in the world today that they struggle to eat. They struggle to have clean clothes. They struggle to have anyone care about their education. And most importantly, no one is taking them to church this morning. Be thankful for mom and dad. Every day. Be thankful for mom and dad. Every day. Pray to God in your prayers for mom and dad tonight. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 says, we ought always to give thanks to God for you. Brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged. And the love of each one of you towards one another grows even greater. Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. The Apostle Paul, when you look at all of his epistles at the very beginning, he was so thankful for all the churches. The thankfulness that he had was not just directly a specific person, but for a multitude of people. And be thankful for them. We speak proudly of others in thankfulness. And we should do so. When a brother or sister does something for us, we say thank you and we speak so proudly of them. We give them acknowledgement. We give them recognition for who they are and what they've done. But our ultimate purpose is to go to the highest mountain and praise our God in thanksgiving so that the whole world hears and sees that. He says in Isaiah 12, then you will say on that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord. For although you were angry with me, your anger is turned away and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Therefore, you will joyously draw water from the spring of salvation. And in that day, you will say, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Make them remember that his name is exalted. Praise the Lord in song. For he has done excellent things. Let this be known throughout the earth. Cry aloud and shout for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. In your thanksgiving, are you the only one that knows about your thanksgiving to God? The point is this, that God loves you. He has redeemed you. And our response to him is thankfulness in everything that we do so that the entire world recognizes who our God is, what he has done for us, and what he will do for anyone else that comes to him. And we shout for joy in our thankfulness. It's who we are. It resonates in our hearts unto the world. Most importantly, that God himself hears and receives that thankfulness from our hearts. Thankfulness is a mental, verbal, and or physical expression of one's acknowledgement and appreciation of God's person, his grace, blessings, and sovereign work in one's life and the world. In other words, it's in everything that you do. The greatest commandment is to love with God with all of our heart, our soul, our strength, and mind. And our response and thankfulness is just that. And everything that we think in everything that we say and everything that we do. We do so continually. In 1 Corinthians 15, he says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this is perishable, this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where's your victory? O death, where's your sting? But the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." Jesus Christ died for our sins. We deserve the penalty of death. Oh, death, where's your victory? Oh, death, where's your sting? Thanks be to God. Think about that. Thanks be to Jesus Christ, who took upon the punishment that we so deserve. Thanks be to God. Praise Him. Thankfulness in Him. That we bow in prayer, that we sing praises to His name, that we glorify Him. Thanks be to God. No one else did that for you. No one else can do that for you. He did that for you. He loves you that much. In Hebrews 13, "For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. Through Him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." Heaven's our home, in other words. We're not just going to go to some place that's going to wither away. We're going to a place that is eternal, that is of peace, no crying, no pain, that God has reserved in heaven for us. To live our lives today to say thank you for tomorrow. That God says, when I come, I'm going to bring you with me. It's not then that we're going to say thank you. It's today that we say thank you. And everything that we do. In Psalm 9 and verse 1, he says, "I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High." And lastly, thank you for bearing with me for all the Scripture this morning. "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with thanksgiving." I strongly want to encourage you this morning to take a moment to your God, our God, say thank you. And as you walk out these doors, you live your life in servitude and love and thankfulness. Not one day a year as we gather around and fill our bellies up, but we're thankful in any and every circumstance. And we're thankful that God has loved us enough to give us His Son to redeem us. But you know that invitation is extended to all, that Jesus Christ died for the sins of all the world. And I want to encourage you to come forward and say thank you to Jesus in such a way that you want to give your life to Jesus Christ. To confess that He is your Lord and Savior, to repent of your sins, and to be baptized and now walk in the newness of life in thanksgiving because He died for you. He rose again. That He says, "Where I am, there you may be also." In thanksgiving. The invitation is for you this morning. May you come now as we stand and sing.